Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. I was told last week I got a little bit too fast. We're going to kind of look back over a few of the verses we looked at last week before we continue. And I don't mind being corrected. This is our class, it ain't my class. And I want everybody to get what, if there was something that you didn't feel like you got, it was stirring you and you didn't feel like you were getting all of it, you felt like you needed to, I don't mind anybody saying, hey, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that, and we can study it out a little bit further. But we're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read all those verses again in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, verses 13, we're actually going to begin in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we were looking at being sealed. The only way that can happen is by the Spirit being in you, because the Spirit comes in, and Brother Joe used to do a great job teaching on that, about operation of God, where He takes the Word of God, and through the Spirit of God, He cuts the spirit and the soul away from this body of sin. So, and then seals it, places upon us the seal of God, which says that we are His. But I also think more than that, it's almost like that soul and spirit is like in a bubble, in that inner man, you know, a new creature. That new man that lives in this body, God, living in you. And the Bible says that we are the temple of God, and we are to keep our bodies in subjection. We know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But praise God, in our body, we got one who lives in us, and He's perfect. And I thank God for this. The new man never does anything wrong. So everything that when I'm yielded to God, I don't have to worry about am I doing right or am I doing wrong or whatever. Hey, it's the new man. When the new man is in charge, he always does what's right. People ask me sometimes, how are you doing? And I say, well, some good. Because I got a new man that always does right. But I also got an old man, and he can't do nothing right. But praise God that we got a spirit in us, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise who's inside of us. And that's one thing that we... And that's what we... By the Spirit being in us, you know, I remember years ago, right after I first got saved, I was in the Methodist Church, and I got invited to a prayer breakfast. Well, I was young in the Lord. I didn't know nothing about what was going on out there. I thought church, everybody was good, everybody was right, everybody was, you know, on the same page. You know, I was ignorant. I didn't know. I didn't know about the argument about the Bible. You know, the Bible is the Word of God, period, you know. I didn't know about the NIV or the RV or the RSV or the, you know, NAACP. I didn't know none of that kind of stuff. I didn't know anything about nothing, you know. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know the King James, New King James. I just didn't know. All I knew was the Bible was the Word of God. And the only Bible I knew anything about was the King James Bible. That's all I knew. But I get invited to this prayer breakfast, right, and I get there. Well, this guy is come to find out he's charismatic, and he's not a Pentecostal. He's not a Pentecostal. He's charismatic. I don't know if you know what the difference. He was a he was a charismatic Episcopal. And I'm going to tell you what, this guy, and on top of it, I come to find out, he was a, what do you call these people that cast out demons and stuff? What do you call them, devils? Exorcist. Yeah, he was an exorcist. Yeah. So, I mean, it was an interesting morning, to say the least. But anyway, he got talking about, he said, I have Christian people come to me, and said, cast devils out of them. I said, and finally, I'm a baby Christian. I know nothing. But you know, I had the Spirit of God in me and give me a little bit of wisdom, and I stood against that rascal who had been in, he had been in the church arena for probably 36 years as a pastor in a Episcopal church, and then had become, and got into that charismatic stuff. And I stood up, I said, look, I got Jesus Christ living inside of me. And I said, and you telling me that some little wimpy devil wants to get inside the throne of my room, my heart with the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, I don't believe that. And I said, what's this, what I said? Junk. I said, I do not believe that. Junk. That's exactly what I said. And when I said that, I'll never forget, he's like, well, I said, a devil cannot possess a person who is saved. He cannot possess him. He said, yeah, but he can oppress. I said, yes, I know the Bible says he can be oppressed, but he cannot be possessed. I said, if the devil was to get inside that where the new man is to possess my being, you know what you'd have? I said, you'd have a saved devil, amen? Huh? Just, yeah. Anyway. It got interesting. He dismissed the prayer breakfast. And that was my last prayer breakfast. After that experience, I was a little bit leery about anybody that wanted you to come have a little bit of breakfast and coffee and talk about the Bible. And so I kind of waved that goodbye. But that's the thing I, impress upon us is that because of the Spirit is in us, the devil ain't going to get in there. He's not going to get into that inner man. It cannot be corrupted, is what I'm saying. It's clean. Your spirit was made alive. Your soul has been washed. Amen? Amen. And it's kept by the power of God. Amen. And that's a good thought. Praise God. The only thing bad about me, I want to get rid of anyway. Amen? Huh? That's the old man, the flesh, One of these days, when I see Jesus, I'm going to be changed. And this body of corruption is going to put on incorruption. Right now, as preacher brought out, did a great job last week about, in this world, you got tribulation. Why? Why? Because you're in this body of sin, But praise God. Jesus has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, we're in the world. If the flesh is controlling you, it's only because you agree to it. Because the Spirit is greater than the flesh. Spirit of God is more powerful. Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. And I'm going to tell you who's going to win the fight. Amen. You're in a fight, but I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God is going to win the fight. I've said a whole lot more than I meant to about that. Let's move on in Ephesians 2:18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then this thing, because of the Spirit of God being in us, now we have access to the throne room of God. Huh? And the Bible said we're to enter in
Like a bunch of little timid sheep scared to death? No. Enter in boldly. Not arrogantly, but boldly. I mean, you ain't got to enter into His presence wondering if He wants to hear what's on your heart and mind. You can come to God knowing that God cares and wants to hear how you feel, what you think. And you know why? Because when you express yourself, God will deal with you, talk with you. You know? He said, hey, call upon me, right? And I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. We might enter that throne with questions. You know what I'm saying? Maybe have the wrong mind, but God, just simply because we ask, now we may put ourselves into a position to hear what God's mind is in the matter. Amen. And He can make changes in us if we just, you know, ask. That's reading, you know, you've all heard this, you know, don't question God. Don't question. Ain't nothing wrong with asking questions. I've always been told the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Huh? If you got a question you don't understand, you know, ask. Ask. And enter into that throne room, and because of the Spirit being us, now it's wide open. As I said, God tore the veil, and it's an open door now. Amen. And now what we need to do is rend our hearts and make an open door as well, you know, to let the Spirit of God, you know, work through and out of us. And the only way you'll do that is if you're going to have to turn your will over to His will. In Ephesians 3:16, and that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Amen. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, look at that. Look at that, what that verse said. Because the Spirit is in you, the Bible said, you're rich. Huh? According to the riches of His glory. Amen? And because the Spirit is in you, you have the riches of God's glory. They belong to us. He said, if I gave you my son, what do you think I'm going to keep back from you? Amen. I think, you know, I'm sad to say that oftentimes I go to God, you know, saying, well, God, are you going to help me? You going to help me in this area? And if you ain't careful, kind of doubtful sometimes. I mean, because, you know, you know yourself that sometimes you're ignorant of what you really need. Hey, come boldly and say, God, I don't know exactly what I need, but teach me. Amen? So I can learn to pray like You want me to pray. Huh? And realize You are going to answer me according to Your riches and Your glory. Your glory is going to be demonstrated in us when we realize and believe that God is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. He's going to answer us according to the riches of His glory, and that's what we have because of the Spirit of God. See, you don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. And we need somebody to teach us. Who's going to teach us? The Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Amen. Just like the other disciples, they came to Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And the Bible said we're to pray with all prayer. We're to pray with the understanding. So the things that you do know you ought to pray for, and you do know how to pray for. And expect God to move on those things. Like you guys that's going out, you know, every week, going out knocking doors. Hey, the Bible says pray. Amen. Pray about it. God's already told you, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's told us to go out. And he said, the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, right? Now, who's the good man? It ain't us. It's the Lord Jesus in us. And the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So you can pray and ask God, send us where You want us to go, amen? And believe He's going to answer. I believe that. When I go door, hey, every time I've ever went out on visitation, I've asked God, to put me where he wanted me to be. And I believe with all my heart he always has. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it time and time again. You say, well, so you had people saved every time? No, sometimes God didn't want me to have people saved. Sometimes what he wanted me to do, hey, was set and sow some seeds in somebody who's sitting there doubting God or an enemy of God. And God, he said, my word ain't going to return void. It's going to accomplish what I please. We're his servant. Amen? It ain't all about just, you know, getting people saved. It's about being that witness. You know? Just like when Peter stood by, hey, when Peter and him stood before that council, hey, they all got saved, right? Huh? No, I mean, witness to them, didn't he? And buddy, they, you know what? They said, kill them. We need to kill these people. And old Gamaliel said, hey, you better watch. You better watch out, man. You're going to put your hands, you might be fighting against God. And then, hey, you go fighting against God, guess who's going to win? Huh? I said, you better be careful the way you treat these people. So sometimes all you're doing is going out there and you're sowing seed and you don't know where it's going to come out. God is able. That's right. He will. Because it ain't your words. It's not your words. It's not you that's speaking. When you're yielded and you're praying and saying, God, your will be done. It's not you that's speaking. It's God speaking and speak through you. You know, and that's something we ought to pray every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning while our pastor's bringing the message. God, shut him up. No, don't take that wrong. I'm not being ugly about it. Because I know that's what he wants too. He don't want you, our pastor, Brother Anthony, don't want you to hear what he thinks. He wants you to hear God. And so I say, God, you know, hide him. You know, quieten him and speak through him as he yields himself. He studied the Word of God to find out what God wants him to say. And God can use that. The Spirit always works through his people. But God can be, it can be God. It can be Jesus Christ standing there speaking in that pulpit this morning. And that's the way we ought to take it, amen? We didn't come here to hear the preaching of Anthony White. Amen? We come here to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. Paul said in the book of Romans, the doctrine that God has given me and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to hear this morning. And we need to pray that for our pastor. In verse 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed in the day of redemption. Amen. Hey, and what we have because the Spirit's in us, we are sealed until the day that God comes and receives that purchased possession and we get that new glorified body. And because of that, you know, we're also encouraged by the Spirit of God not to do anything to grieve him, to make him sad, you know. So, you know, one of the ways that you know that the Spirit of God is in you is when you grieve him. Any of you know what I'm talking about? You've grieved the Spirit of God, and inside of you, you feel, oh, man, I messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. And I always tell God the Father, I'm sorry. I tell the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry I grieved you. I'm sorry I grieved you. And say, I said, I'm not, and I always tell him, I said, I'm not promising you I won't do it again. I messed up so many times, I know I'm going to. And I'm sorry for what I'm going to do down the road. But you know the thing of it is, and here's what's so encouraging. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I won't forsake you. He said, I started the work, I'm going to finish it. Amen. And that's what that verse says. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, we can be sure he's going all the way. He's going to finish what he started. Holy Spirit ain't like us. Oftentimes we'll start something, and before we get started, man, it's been laid on the shelf. Wife says to us, when are you going to get that done? I'm working on it. 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, because of the Spirit's indwelling in us, we can have His fullness. Now, it doesn't mean that you can have His fullness. The Bible said there's one baptism. Jesus Christ baptizes us into the body of the Lord. He baptizes us with the Spirit of God into His body. Amen? And that happens one time. And it's forever. Forever. I don't care what the Pentecostals say. You can't get saved and then, you know, and then... And they say, well, no, He won't leave you, but you can leave Him. If He's in you, how are you going to leave Him? How are you going to leave Him? You run down here to the beer joint. Huh? Oh, you left Him outside. No, He's in you. He said, I won't leave you. For Him to get out of you, He has to leave. Amen? This is His work. He did it. And you carry Him into that beer joint and get drunk wearing His excess. That's what we just read, right? Huh? You're going to grieve the Spirit. Amen? But here's the thing about it. Even if you do, He said, I'm still working. He said, I might send some big sucker over there about half drunk. Clean your clock. Amen? Say, what are you doing in here anyway, stupid? Huh? I've known that kind of stuff happen to people. God judged them. I picked a boy up hitchhiking years ago. I hadn't been saved real long. I was going through Rockingham. And I done went past the guy, but I saw him had his thumb up. And I come up on him, and I was gone. And the Spirit of God, I mean, just as clear as I can... As Jim Side walked in there and handed me his paper, give you something to read, I heard it. Plain. And I knew who it was. He said, pick him up. And it was, how many of you have ever been Rockingham about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon? There's six lanes down through there, three going, turning lanes and this thing, and I mean, it's just full. I said, God, I get turned around, He's going to be gone. I mean, I felt it. Go back and pick that guy up. Turn around and went back. Well, there he was. He was still there. Amen. Picked him up, got going down the road, and make a long story short. I'm going to make it short as I can. Come to find out, this fellow was running from God. He was running from his wife. He just got out of jail. He told me he was going down there. He said to knock somebody in the head, get their money, whatever he do, just to get by. You know what I'm saying? He was running from God. He told me, he said about a year ago he had tried to kill himself, running from God. He said his life was a mess, and it didn't clear up either. It didn't clear up just because, you know, he makes a decision to come back. But he said he shot himself in the chest. He said it collapsed his lung, hit his heart, didn't knock a hole in it, but just seared it, come out his back. He said, I live with pain every day now because of that. He said, laying in the hospital, said, God told me, said, you ain't going to die till I say you can die. He said, I'm not done with you yet. And I told him, I said, on the way down there, I said, look. I said, anything that's worth having takes work. You want your marriage to be put back together, you're going to have to work. You can't run from it. You got to work. You want to get your life straightened out. You want God to work in your life. I said, it takes work. You can't run from it. I said, I know here a while back, right after I first got saved, it seemed like
like God turned my world upside down. It wasn't easy. It wasn't like everybody said, oh boy, after I got saved, everything just got wonderful. No, God turned my world upside down, and like He poured it on top of me. It was one fight after another, and your family didn't understand, and they was against you, and the people you used to go to church with, they think you done lost your mind. And even my wife was wondering, and I don't blame her. Something had happened to me. I said, honey, you still love me? She said, I don't know you. I'm serious. That's what she said. I don't know you. So, I mean, that's what I told him. I said, I understand it, but you need to go home. He said, you're right. Can you pull off that here? He said, I ain't got no money. And I said, I'll get you change. I went there and he gone, payphone, called her. He come running out there. He said, I'm going back. And he was hitting that. Well, I said, wait a minute. So wait a minute. I said, we're gonna go to the bus station. I went up there to the bus station. I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I had enough for a bus ticket. I gave him everything I had. I made sure I had enough gas to get where I was going. I was going to the coast to pick up my wife, and we was coming back. I gave him every bit of money I have to give him a bus ticket. Now this is strange. God wasn't done with me. Having to talk with this boy, and God wasn't done with him. I'm coming next day, and I got my wife now, we're on our way back home. I'm coming through Rockingham, guess who I meet? Going back the other way. And I said, I pulled over, I said, that's him. my wife said, well, see what's going on. So I pulled over, and we made room, put him in the car, and said, what happened? He said, well, I got in there. He said, when I went to get my ticket, because it said 11:30, we thought he was going to be leaving 11:30 that night. It was going to be 11:30 the next morning. So he turned around and started back home on foot. He didn't make it. He couldn't get a ride. Yeah. He said, I had a weird night. I had a weird night. I said, I can imagine. We carried him back to Salisbury. And I gave him a little bit more cash because God told me to. Give him a little more cash because I knew he was out. Ended up getting him a job. God worked in his life. But the thing of it is, hear what I want to say. God wasn't done with him. God was working on him. Not only was God working on him, he was working on me. It's easy to sit back and say, or they deserve what they're getting. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. Amen. I'm glad God's merciful. I'm glad I ain't getting justice. The Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit's in us, He's going to work on us. Amen. In Colossians 1, verses 27. That's that operation. The work begins. Even the mystery which is hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God will make known what is, there's that riches again, riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working. Amen? See, it's His working. What's Paul saying? I'm striving to be yielded to His working. Amen? I'm striving in my inner man to lay aside that old man, to put him off, amen, and put on Christ each and every day. He knew that Paul knew he couldn't save anybody, but God could save people through him, amen. And then he gets to be a partner with God. And that's how a partner can say, that's how Paul could say that, that I become all things to all men that I may save some. Amen. He knew he couldn't save them, but he was looking for God to save people through him. He knew that salvation took place on the cross, but now they needed to hear the message of salvation, that they could believe and be born of the Spirit of God. In Colossians 3:11. It says, so where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And because the Spirit lives in you, you know what that means? Hey, there's neither man nor woman, nor red, nor black, nor white, nor brown. We're all one. God has made us one. And we need to strive to realize that. We're living in a world today. It's nothing but a boiling kettle ready to explode with cultural hatred. And we got to reach through that with the love of God. I don't think he put that there by no accident. He wanted us to see that. Look what he said. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. He said, we're all one. If you're a master or a slave, he said, there's no difference. You're one. That's the reason Paul could say to Philemon, you receive him now as a brother. Amen. I know you the master, he's a slave, but y'all are brothers. Amen. In Christ. It's important that we lay aside these things. Look, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Unforgiveness will surely kill a church. It'll kill you. I'm glad I can say, I mean this, I've been done wrong in church. If you've been in church any time at all, you know what you're going to say? I've been done wrong in church. I've had people do me wrong. I've had brothers and sisters do me wrong. So what you going to do? Hey, I've done God wrong. Huh? I've done the Holy Spirit wrong. I've done the Lord Jesus Christ wrong. I've done him wrong. Amen. And I've done it through, by the way, maybe I've treated brothers or sisters or my wife or my children. You know? God has said, look, forgive one another. And I can honestly say, beyond, and I mean this with all my heart, I got people right now does not treat me good. Lie on you. Say things against you if not true. But I can say, I do not have a grudge against any of them. Everything, I've forgiven it. I haven't forgotten it. When it comes up, I got to cast it down. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you know what it'll be? It'll be a root of bitterness. And you got to deal with it. It springs up, cut that sucker off. But you got to get determined to do that. You got to forgive every situation. Forgiving one another. Amen. Praise God. God, you got to do what he said right here. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. And here it is. And here's the key to it. Be thankful. Be thankful. Oh, man, you don't know. I told my wife, come home. I said, why do I have to work for crazy people? Why? Why? And I told God, I said, well, thank you for my job. Thank you for who I work for. But I still say, why do I have to work for crazy people? I can tell you stories. And, buddy, they be true. And you'd say, you do work for crazy people. But God says, be thankful. Thank. The Bible says, give thanks in all things. But it also says, give thanks for all things, the good and the bad. For this is the will of God concerning you. Like preacher brought out, hey, they are bread for you. Amen? Them giants, those problems, you know, those lies that was told against you, the way they treated you bad. Huh? He said, that's bread for you. To do what? To feed you and to strengthen you. The Bible said that we are to be the habitation of God. And boy, and God don't want to live in somebody that's got a spirit that's not thankful and is full of bitterness. He's there, but he don't like it. He don't enjoy it. And he's going to let you know, amen? You're going to feel the grief of the Spirit of God. Now, that's what we have because the Spirit is in you. Now, the Spirit who is in us now, because of the Spirit living in us, the Spirit now wants to teach us all things. I've always amazed when I see verses in the Scripture. How many has ever read that verse before? And you know all things. How many has ever read that? How many of you asked God, said, what in the world are you talking about? I know all things. The first thing I said when I read it, I said, what do you mean I know all things? I don't know all things. He said, you know me, don't you? Huh? I am your all and all and in you all. Let the Word of God teach us. And he says, and you know all things. He said, I'm all in all. There's no place you can go. Everything in this world that exists, the Bible said by him all things consist. And he is all in all and in you all. And ready, there's nothing in this world that's going on that you can say, well, this ain't got nothing to do with God. No, it has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that's going on. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the enemy's doing. I don't care what the enemy's doing. This is by God's will. And it might not be what God wants, but it is by his will, his permissive will. He's allowing it to happen. And he's making, and he's going to take it. And everything is made beautiful in its time. And God works. And buddy, he said, where sin abounded. Glory. You know, we talk about how bad things are getting. Sin's getting so bad. We ought to get excited. Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen? So we can note it. That the grace of God is at work. Amen? The grace of God is at work. And we look for God working in this sin-cursed world. Fella told me one time, he said, boy, when things are the darkest, he said, it don't take a whole lot of light to shine. You're going to be seen. Amen? If you got any God about you at all, people want to know it. Amen? So I don't care how dark the circumstances, how bad things look, how sinful this world is. Amen? Look, they laughed old Lot to scorn. Amen? But he was a little bit of light down there in that sin-cursed world. The thing about it, they knew he wasn't part of them. Amen. Remember? You're a stranger here. Huh? You going to tell us what to do? He said, it'll be worse for you. Huh? He wasn't part of that crowd. Even though he was down there in that midst. Even it cost him. And it'll cost us too. But one thing about it, if God is in you, there's a difference. And this world knows it. They ain't your friend. Jesus said, if they hated me, he said, the servant's not greater than the Lord. He said, they're going to hate you too. Amen? So don't worry about them hating you. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Go ahead and shine. Might be surprised what can happen. The Spirit-Eyed Teacher in the book of John, chapter 14. We'll go back there, and next week we'll run out of time. But next week, we're going to really dive into this. John chapter 14. I was amazed how much I was going to be able to find on this. And I ain't really, I only studied a few hours. I got some more time. I have more stuff by next week. In John 14, verses 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Because the Spirit of God lives in us, he's going to teach us all things that Jesus Christ and bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And this Bible right here I was looking at verses showing how you might memorize this Bible, and you might can know a lot of things that this Bible said. I remember before I was saved, I knew a lot of the Bible. I did. I even did a little bit of teaching, and I knew a lot of the Bible. And I could have been like Brother Ernie said, I might have been saved. I don't know. But I don't think I was. Because certain things, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I was learning things about God. And God's Word wasn't returning void. It was working. It was working in me. I was like old Paul. It says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. They were goads, buddy. They were sticking me. And studying this Bible, and there's a lot of things I knew, but this Bible is spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God must be the teacher. He's the only one that can help you to see what it means. My wife she got her in conviction because she reads the Bible a lot, but she never read it through. She read the Bible all the time, but she never read it through. She got her conviction about it and wanted to read it through. And she was reading the verses, and she said, I read verses the other day. He said, and I am so confused when I got done reading it. I said, look, honey, I said, there's stuff in there. I said, and I did. I had a sermon that I preached once in a while, biblical contradictions. How many of you ever heard and said there's no contradictions in the Bible? Well, that's true and it's not true. It depends on what. If you're in one dispensation, you get to another dispensation, you'll find things that are contradiction to one another because things change. For example, how many of you ever read, he said, except you forgive, neither shall you be forgiven. Or the Bible says you're to forgive. That's what our apostle taught us. We're to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. I mean, as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. No, we're to forgive because we are forgiven. Now, that's a total contradiction of each other. The Bible says you were already forgiven. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he prayed what? Father,
Forgive them. They know not what they do. You think that was vain? No, you better put things rightly divided or you're going to find yourself teaching wrong. Because they are things in contradiction. And in the verses, how many of you have ever read this verse over in Proverbs? It says, rebuke not a fool according to his folly. Rebuke not a fool according to his folly. Then right below it, you know what it says? The very next verse, you know what it says? Rebuke a fool according to his folly. Now that's a direct contradiction. One says you're not to do it, and the other one says do it. And that's the verses that she was reading. She said, I was totally confused. I said, I read it, and let me tell you, I was confused too. I said, I prayed about it. And God, I said, it's very simple. It says very simple. I prayed about it. And God gave me understanding. So in other words, you don't have to be like a fool. Rebuke not a fool according to his folly. Amen. But rebuke a fool according to his folly. Can you understand what I'm saying? In other words, don't be like the fool when you're rebuking. Be wise. And you're rebuking him what? To correct him. Don't be like the fool. You know what I mean? Don't be like the fool. I didn't tell my wife. She said, don't tell me. She said, don't tell me what God showed you. I want God to show me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.